Oh, hi there. Albert here again just to remind you that this podcast is not safe for work, so if you don't like cussing or violence or dirty jokes, then you probably shouldn't listen. Thanks. Bye now.
Last time on...
Last time.
Well, you guys need a last time on?
Previously on...
You guys fought... Yeah. You guys fought Donovan last time, and...
Oh, that's right.
And then Kelly revealed that she wasn't Kelly, she was actually a demon. She took the amulet back to hell, sent Gavin's sister out. I mean, sorry, Ruby's sister out. And then you guys caught up Herb, who came back to his house. And then he is staying there to help himself and Sandy get back to health. While you guys... Ruby's sister. While you guys embark on your next mission to Yosemite.
Yosemite.
And we're looking for the... Who are we looking for again?
You're looking for a two-headed woman shaman named Mama Say and Mama Saw.
That's right. I fucking forgot about that. So
that'll be hard to miss unless we go to that place and it's only two-headed women.
It's all two-headed women.
That'd be fucked.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be weird if it was just everybody there always like put their arm around each other and just walked really closely?
And you can't tell, but it's like through there they interlock their sleeves.
Yeah. Or like ripping people apart.
They just wear one big cloak.
Like, shit, we're gonna have to be really, really careful. Really fucking take a look at all these people.
All right. Oh man. So it's been a few days since you three defeated Donovan and left in search of the woman who can speak to the earth and trees. Following your map, you head into the forest of Yosemite and walk in what you believe to be the direction of the town. After what feels like too long, and just as you start to feel lost among the trees, you spot a large canvas-walled tent. You three head toward the tent and start to see more of these large, semi-permanent canvas-walled tents that look like they've been there for a while. That's not all you see, though. And I will, I have a map here for y'all.
But that's not all.
But wait, there's more.
A brand new 1979 Plymouth.
Can you guys all see that?
Yeah, dude. Oh my god, who's that guy hulking out in the town
exactly
square?
That's exactly where my eye went. Who is that?
It's Shia LaBeouf.
Just do it!
I love that.
Just do it!
You see that in between these tents is a well-traveled dirt road. You see little market pop-up tents on either side of the road, and you see quite a few cheery yet slightly dirty looking people walking around. You see a mixing pot of beings trading goods, people washing laundry in buckets, kids chasing chickens around and sword fighting with sticks. You see and smell merchants cooking and selling food to hungry folks. You hear someone playing a nice melody on some kind of flute. It's very medieval looking, which honestly makes it the most accurate place you three have been, given the era that this campaign set in. All in all, you get a simple but happy vibe from this place. A dragonborn walks up and says, "Hail and well met, travelers. Welcome to Yosemite. What do you quest for?"
Is that a flute I hear?
Yeah, let's go check out the flute. Let's go take a look.
One of the villagers playing flute.
Ignored him.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm not vibing with this guy. He's really, he's really just kind of like, he's picked out the entire theme of how this should be.
For us.
Right, exactly. And he's doing it too by the book right now, and I'm not having it.
You know, I agree. Things do seem a little too perfect here.
Yeah, it's a little bit too D&D.
All right, we'll see you later. And
have a good one.
Go fuck myself.
Yeah,
he just kind of like glare at him as he walks off.
Wait, come back.
So you guys are...
Well, now I'll make note of that man because I'm pretty sure that was supposed to be who
he talks to. Christopher, how does it feel when your characters avoid the person you put right before them?
It's honestly not surprising.
Does it feel good?
I'm pretty sure at this point that's exactly like Christopher's like, okay, we're going to just put this guy in here for no fucking reason because they're going to ignore
him. They're
going to
just do whatever they want. Yeah, anyways.
Like if we actually talked to him, he'd probably explode.
This is about where you guys walked up.
Okay.
I cannot
Wait,
see.
Let me look at that.
Oh, is that the guy that came
How
up
do
to
I
us?
Move this?
A bearded man?
Well, I wrote Dragonborn, but sure, that's the guy that was talking to you.
Okay, that's not exactly the thought that that would conjure, the image it would conjure.
Well, that's not what he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be a Dragonborn, so just imagine okay. like a scaly guy.
Where are the kids playing? Oh,
I played too much Skyrim, so a Dragonborn can be anything.
Have you seen the video Bus Rhoda?
I've seen a busty Rhoda.
What does that mean?
I don't know either.
Let the listener fucking imagine, I guess. I'm not going to describe it. It's
I
a
know
busty
what,
Rhoda.
I know what I imagined.
All right.
It's like speed bumps in a road, like really big ones.
So
I was imagining a very busty, like Amazonian woman named Rhoda.
Rhoda. Rhoda hard and hung up wet.
Oh my god.
Sorry, Christopher.
Let's just say the Dragonborn walked off because you guys said you didn't want to talk to him. Yeah, and now this elderly
dwarf man
is standing there before you.
Does he say anything?
No, he's just chilling.
Oh, hello.
We should walk around him.
No, I'm going to talk to him. He seems like he doesn't really have any like predetermined lines.
You said hi to him and he's like, hi.
Hey, what do you do for a living?
Oh, well, my name.
Yeah.
Nope, that's not what we asked.
Oh, what I do for a living? I'm just a forger, you know, forge some metal here and there for people who need it.
A forger, not a forager.
No, yeah, I work in a dwarven forge. My name's Charles McLizard Scales. That definitely wasn't the last guy's name or anything.
For sure, it doesn't seem like you're stealing any backstory from anyone else. I wasn't even slightly suspicious.
Family name?
Yeah, married into it.
I can see by you're not Lizard Scales. Wow. So is it more of a kink or is it just love when you met her? Did you go looking for that type or?
Oh, you know, we don't discriminate. Love is love.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So do you think you like, I know you forge metals and stuff, but do you think you could forge documents for me?
I don't know how to write.
Me neither. It's a skill that really hasn't been picked up at this point.
Yeah, I just hammer shit.
Yeah, which is weird because I can read really well. I just never learned how to write.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where you can understand when someone's talking to you in a different language, kind of, and you get it from context, but then you can't speak it back.
Oh, look, an Albert and Sons. And then I just kind of stiff arm this guy out of the way. And I start heading towards the Albert and Sons.
You're probably too zoomed in, Alexa.
Nope, I see it now.
I can tell by the snail trail she's leaving behind her.
The mere mention of Albert and Sons, I've already dashed off through the trees.
So you dashed into that Albert and Sons?
Absolutely, I did.
Actually, I'm out front.
Arbitrary dialogue. It's my favorite part of this.
Okay, so you are, I think you are blue.
Is there like a porch on this Albert and Sons?
It looks like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's really kind of like, it's a tent like everything else, but it's kind of a more fancy tent.
Yeah, it seems well established.
All right, so I'm out in front of the tent and I'm like right warming there. Up, stretching. I'm like, all right, we got this.
Anyone
got
else go this. To Albertsons as well?
Yeah, I'm gonna just brace myself up against Leaf's feet on my feet, and I'm just gonna help her stretch.
Okay.
I was like, what are we doing?
So, Shmurp's gonna go too. Before he leaves, he's gonna touch the dwarf's beard and say, "Oh, I like that." And then he's gonna grow one as he's walking over there.
Okay,
that's pretty nice.
Nice.
The dwarf just looks at you fucking weird while you walk away.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right. So you're outside an Albert and Sons. And you can see, like, there's obviously no door. You can see straight in. And it's set up aside from not having a wall right there, it's set up exactly like the other Albert and Sons you've been through, and there is a guy who looks just like Albert in the back.
Are we still technically outside?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to try something.
Okay.
Just to see what happens. I'm going to take out my bow and arrow.
Okay.
I'm going to rack a bow or an arrow into my bow, and I'm going to shoot it into the air. Just up into the air. Yep.
Okay. You do that.
Okay. I look up after the arrow and I'm like, Ruby, what was that for?
Just seeing what happens.
Roll a d20 and I'm going to see what angle you got based on that.
19 degrees.
Well, I'm only going to take one, whatever the first.
It's a nat 20. That's how we're starting this.
You shoot it straight as an arrow directly in the air.
Oh, let's leave this area. Let's walk inside. Is there anyone? There's nobody around us, right?
No, it's just you guys right there.
Okay, so that did nothing. All so right.
You guys walked straight inside?
Just thought I'd try it.
Yeah.
Okay. You walk in. You walk past everything that you've walked past several times in the past. You walk up to the counter. And sure enough, the guy at the counter says, "Oh, hi there. Welcome to Albert and Sons. My name's Albert, but starting with an E. It's a silent Albert. E. Yeah, a silent E. E A L B E R T.
That's weird that you spell your name for people whenever you talk to them.
Wait, so is it Albert or is it Albert?
It's Albert. I spell it because everybody thinks I'm my father, and he looks identical to his father, but slightly younger.
Wow. So a real stud muffin.
Yes.
I have a question.
Please.
Sure.
What's it like having a father?
Well, it's
it's loaded.
That is a wow, this is the first time I've been stumped. I don't know what it's like to not have a father, but I can tell you I like it a lot. It's nice to be in business with your father as well.
You see him often?
We all kind of just run our own thing. Once a year, we get together for a big, giant Albert and Sons get-together.
You're going to have to give Leaf here the date and time of those.
Can I just say, the way you guys worded that, both of your questions, makes it sound like we kidnapped his dad.
What's Did you like guys do something with my dad?
No, we haven't seen him in a while, actually. In fact,
not yet.
You've probably seen him.
Seen him. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever even seen your dad. You guys all look exactly the same, so I don't know. Well,
he stays in Olark running his shop, so you would have to have been there.
You weren't in. No, you weren't. Were you?
Maybe I went by.
But you weren't with us, were you?
No, I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't remember when we picked you up. It's been quite a campaign.
Well, hold on a second.
While they're discussing, I'm slowly making my way behind the counter to him.
I recognize you two.
Oh, shit.
You do?
Yeah, my father told me about you.
But that makes you recognize us.
Well, I mean, after some conversation, you seem pretty much like what he said.
What did he tell you?
The
same people.
He said that he has some friends that come around that are part of, and he looks around and he says, the Ruffians. And to help you out any way you can. He said it was a...
the Ruffians.
And it was a... But anyways, he said it was a... He said to expect a stylish, studly, handsome fire genasi and a bootylicious, beautiful... Verdan.
Whoa!
Who?
Your dad.
No, I am kidding. I just saw the look on your face there, and wanted to josh you a little bit. But he definitely said halfling.
You're very funny, Albert.
Oh, that's what they call me. They call me the funny Albert.
That's funny. You're funny.
So, anyways, I've got a fella back in the backpack here that you might want to talk to. You want to talk to him?
No, we're good. Okay. And I'm kidding. I got you back there, Albert.
You read me good there, man.
You started it. It's on now, Albert. Oh,
I'm holding Albert's hand.
Oh, I didn't even notice. You come back here, you've got such a strong grip.
You're going to have to be careful with her. She's very sneaky, Albert.
That's okay.
Very sneaky, sneaky, said.
She's also... I don't know what he is, but she's not whatever accent she just told it did.
Well, I didn't even hear it, so I don't know.
Perfect.
Couldn't tell you.
All right. So what the fuck are we doing?
We need to go talk to this guy back here.
I mean, I'll be straight up with you. It's just a merchant.
Oh. All right. Well,
do we even have any money?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think I got some monies.
Wow. What are your wares, Albert?
I'll tell you. Hey, I will tell you something right now. The guy that was gonna give you money, you sent away.
Shut your whore mouth. I conveniently am like, you know what we should do before we go back here? We should go find that guy.
I say we've made our bet. I like being at a deficit.
Everyone likes an underdog team.
How much money do you guys have?
I don't know, that's what I'm trying to look up.
How do I check again?
Currency, I have 400 gold.
Oh, wow, I have 1,000 gold.
Well, it's under inventory.
For real? Oh, you guys don't need any money.
Yeah, we're
fucking that guy's stressed. Gone. You sent him away. You gotta lay in the bed you made.
I have 10 gold.
Right.
I'm sure Gavin can give you some.
I'd like to mention that I'm carrying 101 and a half pounds. Right now, and I am unencumbered.
Jeez.
Yeah, so I'm just like, no, this is fine. I'm good. 101 pounds, 101 Dalmatians is essentially, if a Dalmatian weighs a pound, like a puppy.
Yeah.
I could literally be carrying 101 of them.
I get it.
I'm not sure what to do with that information.
You better hope that you don't have to fight Cruella.
She's getting even one of these pounds.
So do we just like go back there?
Oh yeah, he turns around.
Do you bring him out? Do you bring us in?
He turns around and he does a fancy little knock on the door and then opens it. And he's like,
"What does a knock sound like? I would like to hear a fancy knock."
It sounds like this. He goes like this. I don't know if you could hear that because of crisp.
Yeah, fancy? I could hear it. I don't know if
it's just like a little beat. Anyways, the door opens up.
That's going to be in my head for the rest of the day. I slowly release Albert's hand, but I look longingly into his eyes as I back down into the corridor or whatever.
He doesn't break eye contact.
Oh my God.
Wow, he's confident.
I am. Leaf will remember that.
You guys go through a very
wink
short...
Wink at him if you get a chance.
You guys go through a very short corridor and then opens up into a little room and you see that stranger, the merchant that you guys met before, and he looks at you guys and he goes, "Ah, welcome, strangers."
Hello. Never get tired of this voice.
Thank you.
Come
take a look at what I have.
Oh, I swear to God, if you have your penis out right now, I'm going to be very upset with you.
So,
he just opens a trench coat.
Yeah,
look at what I have. I don't know why he's a pirate now, but he is a pirate in my mind.
Sometimes I get into that a little.
Yeah, look at my scurvy penis.
So yes, Jesus Christ.
It's actually a peg leg. It's not even a penis.
It's a wooden dick. I lost it in me swashbuckling days.
I sent everything in chat right now, but I'll go ahead and read it for the listener. So he still has the brooch of shielding, where while wearing this, a character has resistance to damage from force and is completely immune to the spell Magic Missile. That's 400 gold. He still has the Stone of Luck. This gives the player holding the stone +1 bonus on ability checks and saving throws. Handing this stone to someone gives you one extra roll on any roll, 300 gold. He still has all of the potions of healing. But now he also has a few more things. He's got a chain mace, which is a hybrid of a heavy two-handed mace and a flail. The versatile mace does 1d12 damage when used as an up-close melee weapon, +4 to hit when it's in this mode. There is a small button on the handle, and when pushed, the weapon head drops down on a chain and can be used one-handed for 1d8 at a distance of 10 feet, plus 1 to hit in this mode, 700 gold. He has a, which I'll just throw this out there, was an upgrade of Schmerp's weapon because he's the one that carries a mace. Bag of snakes, when opened, roll a d10. That many snakes come out and attack whoever you want. They have 1 HP each. They have 1 HP each and do 2 damage when they hit successfully. Roll d20 plus 1 to hit per snake. Can be opened once per short rest, 400 gold. And a bubble cloak. Once per long rest, you can inflate the suit as a reaction and prevent damage. Roll a d20 to see if the damage pops. The suit must pass 5 to not pop. If the damage is from a sharp source, the d20 roll has disadvantage. That's 300 gold.
I wish that one was a bag of dicks.
What would a bag of dicks do?
It would be terrifying.
You just get like an advantage on intimidate.
Yeah. You're like, you see this paper bag, and they're like poking out like baguettes. Yeah.
You're like, we'd like to come through, and they're like, sorry, there's no entry beyond this point. You're like, really?
Really?
I like to picture them as flaccid dicks in like a Ziploc bag.
And they just hang over the shoulder.
They're just like smashed in there.
I know that.
Just a scarf.
I know that there are tons of pre-made items that I could put in with this merchant. But I like to make up my own. So I made up all of these.
No, sure. I think they're cute.
All right.
Don't let me criticize you.
Bag of snakes looks pretty inconvenient. And it seems like it'd take a lot of time to use. So immediately I want to buy that.
Yeah. If you don't get it.
Yeah. And since I'm kind of the high roller, I think I'm going to just go ahead and just kind of lug out my 1,000 gold coins. I'm going to go, I'll take a bag of your finest snakes.
All right. And he grabs the bag, and he doesn't untie it, but you can see it's kind of wiggling around.
Oh, and, I trust him. I trust there's a big bag of snakes in there.
And he sets it on the table, and he takes 400 gold pieces out of your bag, and he says, thank you. Enjoy.
Okay. I'm going to remove 400 gold.
So you have 700 left?
No, 600.
600. And Leaf has how much? 400?
Yeah.
Okay. And poor old Schmerp has 10.
Yeah.
Well, Schmerp, you can have mine. Do you want that chain mace? What do you want?
I do, but I want to use persuasion on this guy to make it cheaper.
Ooh.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll roll.
Playing Dungeons and Dragons.
I'll roll opposed to that. So roll. You roll persuasion, and
this guy's a merchant, though. So I think you should have some kind of.
I'll advantage. Have a buff. I'll
He's like a haggler.
I got a 17.
Okay. Oh. Let me see. You know what? I'm gonna use yours because you're probably a haggler to do. What would be the opposite of persuasion?
Maybe
dissuasion.
I would say
Caucasian.
Let's see. Persuasion is under charisma. I'll maybe do a charisma just, like, saving check.
Okay, I was gonna say charisma or like constitution. I forgot what constitution.
He also rolled a 17. So roll again.
Okay.
Or wait, actually, first make your first argument.
Oh. Okay, so Schmerp is like the gray ruffian looking guy now, and he's still donning the beard because he likes the beard.
Okay.
Hey man, look, I've been out here a long time. I got this old mace, it's cracking, dude. You gotta help me out, man. You know how hard it is out here.
You went for the homeless guy approach.
Hard out here for a schmert.
I feel ya. Oh wait, what voice am I doing? Hold on. All right, stranger, I feel ya. But honestly, I know your pals have a lot of money.
Oh, damn it,
Gavin. I'm trying to make a living.
Just mean Ruby. Just had to go around throwing you out went. My big coin, all right. coin all right. purse.
All right. We tied, so you can. I'll let you roll again if you want.
Okay, so persuasion.
Couldn't have just pulled out the amount you needed, huh?
Nope, I'm a bit of a flashy lad.
I'm rolling Christmas saving. Oh my god, I rolled a one.
Oh, yes!
Plus what? Seven is... Free. So I've got seven. Master. So throw out another argument on top of what we were just saying.
Okay. I'm going to step in real quick. I'm not even this guy's friend. I wouldn't let him borrow a dime. Unless you brought down the price, then I'd let him borrow a couple coins if you'd bring down the price a little bit. But I'll tell you what, for you to make the assumption that I just want to buy this man things is, that's the wrong assumption to make.
I'll tell you what, stranger. You give me your remaining coin, which I know is not enough, and I'll give him the mace.
I look at Schmurf and I go,
that's 100 gold off.
Now it's time for you to start haggling with me, Schmurf, my boy.
What?
All right, what you need? What's up?
I want you for the remainder of this campaign, not campaign, but the remainder of this episode to assimilate, to look exactly like, to act exactly like me.
Oh God.
Oh, okay, hold on. Look, hold on. Because I'm okay with that, but do I have to do the accent too? Because I'm going to fuck that up so bad.
Then you have to do your best.
Okay, that works. Works for me.
Perfect. And I'm going to transfer 600 gold to the merchant.
All right.
And I'm broke.
He grabs the 600 gold and he says, thank you. And he slides that mace over to you, and it's a two-handed weapon. So because it's two-handed, you can't use it as two-handed fighting unless you're using it in the one-handed mode. Just remember that. Okay. And then he looks at you, Leaf, and he's like, what are you buying?
I'm just gonna...
I want that bubble cloak.
Let's see, bubble cloak. Bubble cloak.
Bubble cloak. I don't see the 300 custom points.
Bubble cloak.
Okay. He says, that'll be 300 gold pieces.
Points.
They're actually called gold points in D&D. You guys have your items now. Yes. So you are, I assume you just walk back out of the Albert and Sons?
You could have sworn that, yeah. But we're not going to.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to get some food. Does anybody want any food while we're here?
What did they have?
Yeah, I'll take some food.
All right. I'm going to go down
to aisle 3. Can you read the menu to me?
Aisle 3. What do I see down aisle 3?
Yeah.
Is that the bread aisle?
I don't know.
You That's tell what us. I'm asking.
That's the bread aisle.
I'm going to go down aisle 2.
Aisle 2?
Yep.
You see some cast iron cookery.
That's weird. Okay, I'm going to go down aisle 1.
Aisle 1. So aisle 1 is like the first aisle you see when you walk in. So one side is like a regular aisle where you've got like seasonings, various spices. You've got some like like broth, like types of stock and stuff. And then on the other side, there's some livestock. You've got some chickens. You got some pigs.
Is there any chili powder in there?
Yeah, there's some chili powder in there, of course.
All right, I'm going to get a little thing of chili powder.
Okay.
Wait, I don't have any money.
You have any money.
So never mind. I'm going to leave. Here.
Oh, yeah, and then Schmurp has to turn into...
to be me now.
Okay. This is going to be difficult for me.
No pressure. Austin, have you listened to the episodes where I DM'd and couldn't come up with a single other accent to do? Don't worry.
All right.
What is stupid? I should next campaign I run, everyone's non-speaking. They're non-speaking.
What? Good luck.
That's going to be terrible for a podcast.
It's going to be
I'm just going to describe what they're doing.
it's just an hour and a half of nothing.
Yeah.
It's just us going like, "Hey, how's it going? What do we do?" And then nothing. And then we're
and
like,
then,
"All
and
right."
And then you reacting to it and then going
the next thing. It's just this. It's just
Oh, okay. All right, guys. I guess we're going to the Cave of Mysteries. Like,
it's a Legend of Zelda style like text where you have to read it, but the characters also go, Every time they talk,
they just make like a different noise.
Yeah.
I think they're in a fight. All right, I'm purchasing nothing and I'm walking out.
Okay. So you guys walk out. Still people bustling around. Didn't think you'd still be here by now.
I shoot Albert a wink on the way out.
There you go.
Albert looks at you and he winks, but doesn't break eye contact with his other eye. And then like he just keeps that eye contact no matter what.
Blinks with an eye.
And it's like too slow. Like the blink is a little too slow. Yeah, it's not it's a little too slow and you notice it.
I'm still turned on. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
That family can do no wrong in my eyes.
All right. So you said everybody outside still bussing?
Yeah, there's still people walking on the markets, chatting, having a good time, just living their best life.
Yeah, they're bussing.
We should rob that one guy.
Which guy? Which
one are you talking about? The one that first approached us.
You don't even see him anymore. He just kept going.
How convenient. I know that
no dragonborn can resist the call of the dragonborn. Oh, dragonborn.
The guy that's over there by that tent up there, he just kind of looks at you like, what?
The guy with the... Which one's that?
He kind of looks like he's holding like a shovel or something.
Okay, I've got another one. Does anyone have a dragonborn? Dragonborn! That's a Ricola callback. Remember Ricola?
Ricola!
Yeah.
Dragonborn!
That guy, he cups his hands over his mouth. He's like, you guys... He left the whole town because you pissed him off.
No, we don't respond to that. You have to sing it back, Christopher.
All right, fine.
He left.
I've got another one. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, where's Dragonborn?
I told you he's gone.
He's just pissed. That's unfortunate.
He said he was going to go join the Heroes Guild.
Well, you should definitely rob him now.
He'll never make it. That guy's still yelling over to you. That guy has sucked. He'll never make it.
He's good. We're going to get him over here. I want my Dragonborn. I want my Dragonborn here.
Christopher, this could be the rest of the episode.
He's not coming back. You guys had your opportunity to have 1,000 more gold. It's gone.
Fine, we didn't need it anyway.
Honestly, if I knew Gavin was still holding 1,000, I wouldn't have put that in there.
Well, aren't you glad that we did you a favor?
Aren't you glad that Gavin still had 1,000 in gold?
Wait.
Didn't benefit me.
I have... Never mind, let's just go.
Where are you guys going?
What do we see? I don't even... Well, I can see what we see. What seems like the next place we should go to? I think I want to go in that tent that's kind of open.
Oh, Shovel Man's tent?
Does it say Shovel Man's tent?
No, it's the guy with the shovel.
Responding to us, it was like he's gone.
Oh, no. I meant this like brown tent that kind of has like a terrifying opening.
To the right?
Yes.
With the Christmas lights or something on top?
They all have Christmas lights or something on
top. Oh, you're right.
It's like a double, it's like a duplex.
The one with the, by the palm tree.
There's what?
They're kind of all by palm trees.
No. He's right next to it.
It's got a rock in front of the opening.
Okay.
It's along the river?
I don't know. This one right here.
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to have to cross a bridge. Wait,
nope,
should we
I
stop
swam
and
across.
Talk to... right.
Roll for stroke.
We're getting further away from Goro LaBeouf.
We're making our way slowly. We gotta play hard to get.
Christopher, have you been wearing that shirt the entire time?
Yeah, why?
Because I just looked back over at you and thought you were shirtless.
Oh, no, it's very close to the color of my pink skin.
Yes, I love a good fleshy shirt.
And I'm also very pink all the time.
You're a Pinkman.
I'm a Pinkman.
I start calling you Jesse.
Jesse Pinkman.
Anyway, okay. So we're at this tent... And there's like a man at the base of this bridge, and I'm going to be like, hello, man at the base of the bridge. What are you up to?
That is a, what is it? Tabaxi? Those are cat people.
Oh, okay. And, well, and, hello there, wacky tabaxi.
And the tabaxi is watching the fish as cat do.
Oh, is he pawing at him?
That's stereotype.
He's he looks like he wants to. He's like rubbing his hands together.
I'm going to lean in close and just go, meow.
And he kind of startle him, and he goes, whoa, oh, hey, what's up? What's up, guys?
You speak...
Yeah, I speak common.
He sounds just like Chris.
I'm out of voices. That's the problem, so...
Understand. I'm going to say, what's your role here in this village?
I have an axe, so I must be just like a defense person. I'm a defense person for the village.
Not a woodcutter, huh?
Wow.
No.
Is there a problem?
No. Oh, well, you know what? Yes, there is a problem. Recently, usually not, but recently there has been a problem. There have been people disappearing.
Well, it has nothing to do with us. It's weird that you're accusing us of it.
I'm not accusing you of anything.
Do you not realize that there's three of us right here, and you're going to sit here and accuse us?
What are you talking about? Some people. Check it out. Listen.
I don't like the accusatory tone.
I start shaking my bag of snakes at him.
Hey, whoa. Let's all just take a step back here and calm down. Because
I know that cats hate snakes and they love fish.
Check it out. People go into that forest up there to the north and they don't come back.
All right, and then we go into the tent.
Okay.
We got all the information we needed.
All right, you guys are in the tent, and
we're just going around threatening people with your bag of snakes.
You're just,
I just love from a listener's standpoint, like, oh, the shit's going down, and they're like, oh, I guess it's not going down. Never mind.
You guys go in this tent, and you're just in someone's tent, but they're not there.
What do we see?
You see a little fire in the middle.
Is it lit?
No, it's out, but it has a little pot of like. Partially eaten like stew or something that somebody had for breakfast.
I do Scout's Honor and I dip my two fingers into it and I taste it. What do I taste?
You taste like a hearty vegetable, kind of like a, you know how like stew has like a gravy texture to it? Like sort of like that, except the meat tastes like it's fish. So that you're not sure that goes together, because I don't know that I've ever seen fish in a stew, but there's not a lot of sources of food here. Fish is probably one of the main ones.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a vegetable fish stew.
All right. Does it look like they're going to come back and enjoy more of it? Like, were they saving it?
It's still warm. So whoever had it, it wasn't that long ago. Well, it's kind of sitting over, you know, embers. So it stays a little warm.
All right. I pee a little bit into it.
Okay, that's fucking rude.
All right, onto the embers or into the pot?
Into the stew.
Into the stew.
Okay. Right. Schmurp goes over and he spits into it, just hawks a loogie.
Yeah, that's right. We're all doing it.
What is wrong with the two of you?
Don't look at my schmeckle schmurp.
I've got to act like Ruby.
You should roll to make sure you don't spit on my schmeckle.
Yeah, roll the spit. Roll D20.
Roll D20.
Roll to pee. Let's see what the stream is like.
Oh, it's gonna be a strong stream. It's an 8. It's not 20. A great stream.
Hey, trickles. Alexa, remember when I said that there's not a lot of area for you guys to spend a ton of time?
Yeah, I know.
He gets a little spit on your schmeckle.
He's like, mists it.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, Christopher tried to tell me that.
Let me wipe
yeah, don't worry.
Me
there's not no, a lot of like,
you're fine.
Not
it's
a lot
fine.
Of time you can waste here. I'm like,
I didn't think you guys were going to dismiss the very fucking first person who comes to talk
you
to you.
Didn't.
Christopher, do you know
you really
who you're
didn't.
Playing with?
You really didn't think we were going to do that. In your heart of hearts, Christopher, you thought, nah, there's no way that they'll ignore the guy that I put right in front of them. The most obvious thing.
Christopher, what did they do to me the entire campaign where I try? What did all of you do?
The
where
guy
I'm
that-
like, here's the guy. And you guys are like, fuck that guy. We don't care about him for like three episodes.
Fuck that guy in particular. We're going around him.
Yeah, I finally had to make him a permanent character.
Leaf, we're wasting time thinking about the past. Fart in this person's stool so we can get out of here.
Let's go, Leaves.
I roll for fart.
Oh, you're on your own.
Oh, God, I rolled a 1.
A 1? Poop comes out. You put it. You gotta fart and you poop.
Oh my god.
Turn this person's stool into a spitty pee pee poo poo stool.
Spitty pee pee poo poo stool.
His face is like red and kind of glistening and sweaty.
Shmurp grabs the spoon in the pot and he just stirs it.
Stirs it? Oh my god. And you hear from the other side, like not the side where the door is, but you hear from the other side of the canvas, you hear someone say, "Well, I can't, man, what a tough day's work. I can't wait to get back and eat my stew."
Guys, we gotta go.
We leave immediately. Okay.
As Run. You guys are walking away, which way do you guys go? Which way do you guys
we
go?
Are not the same way we walking, came in. I can go, tell you
we're
that.
We're going towards LaBeouf. LaBeouf. LaBeef.
Do you cross the bridge or you just go across the river?
Oh, LaBeef cakes.
Yeah.
Do you cross the river or you just go across the bridge?
The bridge.
Okay, shit. So you guys, when you guys get to like right here, like where on the bridge, you hear someone go, "This is so much better than I remember." And then you guys get over to this guy.
Oh my god, that person's gonna be so sick.
Hey pal, why are you standing like that?
Oh, I thought you were gonna do a gangster for a too. Second.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're doing great.
He says,
"Me so strong."
Oh. Oh my.
You do look pretty strong.
A man
How much
few
do
words.
You think you could lift?
5,000? He's like looking at you to see if that's a regular number. He's like, 5,000?
No, that's pretty strong. I don't think I could lift 5,000.
Yeah, I meant 500.
Right on.
Is that good?
Are you also, brave? Are you also brave?
The bravest.
You ever been into the forest?
No, I have to protect people here.
I'm going to just like kind of reach back and I'm going to go, "You're so brave. What do you think of this?" And I shake my bag of snakes at him.
He runs away. He just ran south and kept going.
I was about to tell you that I was on his back and was going to be like kneading his shoulders, but now I'm like, I would be off in the distance.
Goodbye, Leaf. Don't poop on him, please.
Oh God, that's so awful.
Man, what a lucky fella. Oh, all right. What the fuck are we doing in this town at this point?
Christopher, what do you mean you don't know?
Are you guys looking for the shaman or what? You haven't asked anything of value.
We'll know her when we see her, Christopher.
You can intervene, but you haven't.
I've tried. Okay. You sent them away.
I'm gonna go up to this man with the cart.
Okay.
Do you see him? Yeah, there you go. And I'm going to go, "Wow, you look really strong. How much weight is in that cart?"
he goes, "Oh, five." He's looking at you. He's like, 5,000?
Does no one know numbers and like what's happening?
I was going to say 5,000. It looks like there's about 5,000.
Yeah, 5,000. That sounds about right. Yeah.
Wow. And then I reach back into my bag and I go, and I say, "Have you seen a two-headed shaman around by chance?"
Mama Shay?
Mama Shaw.
Both of them, yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yes. She lives here. The problem is that she went after...
And then I show him my bag of snakes and I shake him around.
Why would you do that? He says, "Do you want to know about Mama Shay, Mama Shaw, or what?"
Sorry, it was a knee-jerk reaction.
I grab him aggressively by the wrist and I go, "If you don't tell us where..." Not that he was resisting at all.
He was never resisting.
"If you don't tell us where they are..."
You feel his old bones kind of crack and he's like, "All right, I wasn't going to hold any information back from you."
Don't lie to me.
He says, Mama Say, Mama Sa, went up into the forest to try to find the people who went missing, and she never came back.
All right, which way, which direction did she head?
Up north.
Up north, all right.
Yeah,
and then I shake my bag of snakes. We go
south, all right.
And that was, Heroes Guild is over.
I'm going to head north, but I'm going to go around to the west of this this tent that's the 5,000 weight man could carry.
This one?
And I'm No. That's the east. The west.
Oh. Yes. That's where he was talking about. Yep.
And then I go over to this Esmeralda type character.
Okay.
And I say hello, and then I keep going.
Okay. Do you guys follow Shmurp and Lee?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Finally moving on to the next fucking part that I wrote down.
Actually. I'm just kidding.
Okay. So you guys venture into the woods to find Mama Say, Mama Sa, or possibly just the source of the disappearances.
Are we in the woods?
You went up north to the woods, yeah.
Into the thick of it.
Can you guys see woods?
No, it's just past the map up there.
Oh, okay, okay. I just want to make sure I didn't have it messed up on my thing. I like how we disregarded that person on the bridge. Was that person important?
No, nobody. Literally nobody here is important.
But except for the guy with money.
Yeah, and you guys sent him away.
Yeah,
the only why guy was he going to give us to. Money? Were we going to have to like do something? No, when he talked to
you, he was going
to
figure out you guys were from the Heroes Guild, and he thought you were here to solve their problem, when really you guys are just here to find one person. So he was going to give you money to solve the problem ahead of time.
Damn. It's fine.
Okay.
I love having my bag of snakes.
So you guys really? Venture into the woods to find Mama Say, Mama Sa, or possibly just the source of all the disappearances. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to need all of you to make a nature check.
Oh, I have good nature.
I don't even nature. Think I have any nature.
Let's see.
Nurture, however.
Oh, no. Nurture's no good in this situation.
14, boy.
16.
Damn, I thought mine was good.
9.
Sorry. Do you want me to re-roll?
For Leaf, what'd you get?
A 16.
Oh, no, okay. Shmurp and Leaf, you guys see some footsteps heading north.
What kind of footsteps?
Like, you've entered into the woods and you look down and you see some footsteps heading directly north.
Describe the footsteps to me.
They look like, there's a lot of them. Like, it looks like multiple people at different times have traveled through here going north.
So it just looks like a well...
Yeah, different shapes, sizes, yeah.
Can I investigate the footsteps? Like, is there any other information that we would need from them?
There's really nothing else for that. You could, but I don't have anything else really to put down.
Are there more coming than going?
They're going all going. I'll just give you that. They're all going. None of them are coming back.
Ooh, spooky.
Okay, so...
You guys want to relay this information to the idiot that rolled a 9?
No.
Nope.
Okay.
You just have to follow them. So you guys walk. You follow those footsteps, kind of, getting an idea of which way you're going now. And you follow those footsteps north, and you keep going and going. Make a perception check, everybody.
How dare you force a hand, Christopher.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my snakes.
19.
What am I rolling?
A 9.
Perception.
10.
Okay, so this time,
normalized
Ruby
perception.
And Shmurp, let's see, hold on, I lost my spot. Okay, you hear quick snapping twigs, like something is running to your left. You look all over, and you also see some smoke drifting up into the air. Kind of in the distance you were already hitting. And so you all pick up the pace, and as you move quickly through the foliage, you're starting to gain on whatever is moving, whatever you heard moving. And suddenly you take a left turn and run into something moving in your direction. Make a dexterity saving throw.
What? Dexterity.
I didn't hear or see anything.
No, you just followed your group.
I was like, I'm just standing on the
okay. path. Critical fail, plus 3 is a 4.
4? Okay. Shmurp, yours is 22?
Yeah.
Oh, Shmurp. Gavin, you have to roll a dex save, not a dex check.
Okay.
11.
17.
Okay.
Wait, I have advantage on saves, I think.
Maybe. Do you?
I don't know. No, just say you don't, because I don't know.
So,
well enough.
Ruby, Shmurp, since you guys were in the lead and you saw this thing come around the corner, you deftly swivel your body... kind of like a football spin move, and you avoid colliding with whatever is in front of you. However, Leaf, you didn't realize what was happening, and you try to move out of the way, but you aren't fast enough, and you collide with whatever is in front of you, and you hear a startled voice cry as you both fall to the ground. You look up from the ground, and you see a short man with glasses that are kind of hanging off his face, and he's scrambling back to his feet, and he's yelling, "Oh shit!" He loses his footing and falls back on his butt and throws his hands over his head, and he says, "Ah, please don't hurt me."
Who the hell are you?
Yeah, who the hell are you?
He like looks at you guys. He's like, "My name's Lincoln Parks." I was previously a lab assistant at Poole Labs for a scientist named Amos Poole from the planet Lodestar, and we were researching an anomaly called the Void, and we crashed. I left and we crashed here, and I'll tell you everything, I promise.
How long have you been
here, buddy?
Are you gonna hurt me?
I'm getting one step closer to the edge with it, and I'm about to break.
I'm also about to break.
And then I shake my snakes at him and I go, "Listen, pal, these are about to be crawling in your skin."
Are those snakes? And Sharp is just going like this, like next to the bag of snakes, like.
Okay, and these wounds, okay. They will not heal.
Listen, okay. Hold on, let me catch my breath. I'm a little bit asthmatic. Okay. So, yeah, like I said, I come from a planet called Lodestar, and I was helping a scientist named Amos Poole research an anomaly called the Void, and we were trying to, he told me that we were trying to create a way to harness the energy, and Poole said that it was for providing all the people of Lodestar with an endless supply of environmentally safe energy, but then these three people came, from out of nowhere, claiming to be the survivors of the universe. They crash-landed on our planet. They busted into our lab. They teleported some little dwarf wizard or something. And then they destroyed our whole shop. And then Poole, he threw everything he had at them. And then all of a sudden, he did some crazy shit where he pulled this little box out of the void and then he used some equipment and he brought his dead parents back. And you guys would not believe the monster Poole had become. Are you raising your head?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, what's going on?
I stop this man. I go, "I've heard enough. Ruby, get the snakes."
No, I'm telling you the truth, I promise.
Shut up when I'm talking to you.
Shut up.
Listen, this Poole, he melded his mind with his parents and then he became
everything you say to me is taking me one step closer.
No, listen,
to
I swear, he became the Atomic Family and then the fight was so brutal and then the four invaders, they killed Poole and then this guy named Darnell, he fixed their ship and then they asked me to come with him and then I did it. We went to this void talking to this guy who was made up of matter and then it was so nuts. Listen, I
this
swear.
Doesn't sound like fact.
No, I promise.
This sounds more like a theory.
Yeah, honestly, it's just your voice. I can't stand it.
No,
it's
listen,
like a hybrid theory.
The people in the void, they said there was all these timelines and everything was slightly different every time. And then sometimes we fail and sometimes we succeed. But anyways, we went back out to try to find these relics that they want. Then we crash landed here and there was four of us. Two of them died. Two are in critical condition. I have a place. I can show you the crash ship. It's back here. And he points back behind where that smoke is.
Hmm.
That was
listen,
so much.
There's this dwarf named Bora and this orc named Sandra. They were part of our crew. They're dead. The other two are in critical condition. And Zero and I, we quickly came up with this plan to plug them into the ship's life support and then he left me here to try to repair the ship, but I can't find the resources on this planet that I need.
All right, well, we're not here for that.
You can
give me all the backstory you want, but in the end, it doesn't really matter.
Well, I just thought you guys were coming after me because, like, they've been sending so many people from the town, and I tell them this story every time, and then everyone offers to go into the virtual reality that I created to help get the people back, but then they don't come out because they don't know what to do, and then they get stuck there, and then I don't know what to do.
So what the hell were you running from?
Is this turning into we're going to have to go through this void?
No, I can't get off the planet. We can't go back to the void.
Wait, so what is happening to the people?
He wants us to go into the virtual reality.
Okay, the two people, the two crew members who are critically injured, they're in life support, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been programming a virtual reality world for them to enjoy while being in their coma, because I don't, it seems very boring to be in a coma and I don't know what else to do because I can't repair the ship. I just can't do it. So anyways, they've been in there and they've been stuck in there.
That seems like efficient use of your time, but go ahead.
Yeah, and then people have been coming and running into me, and then I tell them this story, and then they're like, well, what if I can help? And so then I plug them in, but then they never come out.
Oh, okay.
You sound like you're the reason you why everyone's missing. You should stop plugging people
into that. Yeah.
Listen, I really...
What happens if you just unplug them?
Well, they'll die. And that's the problem, is I really want to get everybody out, but I don't know how.
Oh, you're a real piece of shit.
No, they did it on their own volition. I didn't force them into it. But the ship is going to lose power. And
I so say you've been we peddling take, this sob story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I say we take this guy, bring him back to that town, and they stone him to death.
If you do that, every person on that ship's going to die. We need... You guys don't have to help me, but I need all to right. find somebody who can get Del and Cal out of their comas, because they're the only people who can...
Damn it.
Who can repair the ship and get us off this planet... And I don't know who to ask. I mean, a shaman even went in, and I had high hopes for them, but they didn't do anything.
It was a two-headed shaman.
Yes, it was.
Son of a bitch.
Oh.
All right.
Just
Shia LaBeefcake? He was real brave.
No, remember he ran away from the snakes.
That was just me being funny. Hmm. Well, I've pretty much exhausted all of my Linkin Park humor with this guy. So if you guys want to just go into the virtual reality, that seems cool to me.
We might as well.
Doesn't seem cool at all.
No, wait, what?
How many people have gone in there and haven't come out?
What's your count right now?
I think about seven people, but I don't want to put anyone in there. It's their own decision if they want to go in and help. I don't know how to get out of there.
All right. Well, something about the way you're talking to me right now makes it seem like perhaps you're being built up as not too much of a bad guy. I don't know what that means.
Would you like to just look at everything? You can look around the ship, whatever you want to do. I don't care.
All right, I perceive the ship.
You should release the snakes onto the ship.
Oh, never mind.
I can take you to the ship right now if that's what you want to do.
What do you say, gang? We've already tackled so much. I feel like we can do this, but I'd like to see the ship first.
Well, yeah, I feel like we've got to go.
Leave?
You're killing it. Yeah,
let's go. No, Shmurp's quite the assimilator. He's been pretty quiet since ever he assimilated. He's kind of speaking in bursts. Any response to that, Shmurp?
Just make the Zelda sound. Just one sound.
Nods.
You're doing great, buddy. I love it.
All right.
Are we going or not?
He waves you guys forward and like starts walking towards the direction of the ship. Are you okay?
Hold on, Leaf.
Yes.
Talk to me, Leaf.
We're good. No, it has nothing to do with you guys. My back's killing me again.
Yeah, I know. We were worried about your well-being.
Right.
Oh no, sorry. We're good. I'm just gonna put this on my layers.
I almost said your cervix. Put it on your uterus. Don't put it on your cervix. At least turn your camera off to do that.
Yeah, that's like the Patreon episode you have to pay for.
Don't tease it because we'll get requests.
People will start DMing me.
No.
We want the cervix episode.
What was that one?
Put the heating pad on your cervix.
I've paid. We've got to raise money
for like a fun like camera that goes in. I don't want to do that. It seems like a lot of work.
One of those like snake cameras.
Yeah, what, a proctologist's Christ. Camera, a scope.
All right. Oh, God. So you guys follow this guy, and then you guys.
Thanks for
Lincoln.
Playing with us, Alexa. I appreciate it.
You're so welcome.
You guys see.
Thanks for being a woman in this.
You guys
being
follow
a woman
Lincoln
in this D&D world.
You guys follow Lincoln, and then pretty soon you come to this clearing, and you see a crashed and severely damaged object. It's a ship, but I don't know if you guys necessarily know what a ship is. So it's
a spacecraft.
Yeah,
keep it moving.
No, I'm privy to spacecraft.
I mean, it kind of looks like the ones that you guys saw in New York with the wheels, but way bigger.
Right, but it has thrusters and wings for lift and everything. Well, no, I'm with it. For some reason, I understand that.
You walk up to an open hatch that looks like at one time it may have like automatically plopped down, but now it's just too damaged and.
Lincoln. Right, and it's kind of stuck open.
Yeah.
Again, I understand the inner workings of this for some reason.
And Lincoln leads you inside, and you see various places where panels have either been removed or have been smashed off due to the impact. There's like wires hanging out haphazardly. Some are sparking from time to time. You see tools laying around everywhere in places where it looks like Lincoln had attempted to do some kinds of repair. And as you walk, the lights flicker, and you can tell that the ship is barely holding it together. And you walk past a cockpit, and you see a large amount of damage was done to this area, like broken glass, deflated airbags, which you guys, I wrote down for in your, what you guys see is just deflated sacks hanging from everything. Some panels that look like controls that are smashed into pieces, and then possibly some dried blood all over. You turn left, still following Lincoln, and he manually has to force open a door. And it takes some considerable effort. But upon entering this room, you see about six bodies laying on little rolly beds hooked up to various pieces of machinery and screens. And Lincoln says,
well, welcome to the med bay. We're almost at capacity now. All these folks are in the virtual reality world doing who knows what, because I can't find them, but they're obviously not fighting the crew or they'd be out of there. And you see a half robot, half human man in bad shape laying on one of the beds hooked up.
And you see next to him is a humanoid cat person also in bad shape. And Lincoln points at the cyborg and says,
"That one's Del." He shifts his finger over to the cat person and says, "That one's Cal." Those are the only two crew members left besides myself. They could probably fix this ship up.
He turns to you guys. He says,
"Look, nobody has got in and made it back out. Are you sure you guys want to go in there?"
And before you answer, you look over and you spot a woman with two heads laying among the bodies that are plugged in.
I unplug her.
She dies. End of game.
All right, this was fun. Thanks, everybody. Well, it seems like, Lincoln, that you've really had your work cut out for you here.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to make sure these folks are okay, and the blue's in power, so it's getting tough.
Would you say you've been, I don't know, bleeding it out, digging deeper just to throw it away?
That's what it seems like, you know? I'm really, really putting the effort into fixing this place, and I just can't do it. This is not stuff I've worked on before.
It's true. I understand, but it's a hell of a place for your head.
Yeah. It is.
It is.
Yeah.
Which head?
I'm just doing Linkin Park references. So, I've just been saving them up.
I'm so stressed out. I feel a bit numb. But if you guys
understand that.
If you guys want to go in, I've got a couple more beds I can plug you in. You can try to get out. You guys seem like capable adventurers. Again, it's totally up to you. If not, I'll just go about my way.
Well, I think I've seen enough. You guys ready to get out of here?
Yeah, you know, on second thought, looking at all the bodies, I think I'm okay.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty dangerous thing.
Right.
We're getting out of here?
Well, it's totally up to you. I just want to read the room here.
So you're saying get out of here and Schmurp saying get out of here?
Listen, don't take our opinions into account. Whatever you think is best, Yeah, sure. I'm going to defer to you. You sure know what? I've neglected you quite a bit in the last couple of episodes, and I feel like, just for once, I feel like we should just all in on old Leaf here.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Leaves. Go ahead.
I love that he still calls you Leaves.
He has to.
He doesn't have to. I mean...
I'm like, all right, guys, let's go. We let's just get out of here.
Is that your opinion?
No, I think we should go in there.
All right, sorry.
But I was going to do it just to see what Christopher would do, and the pain on Christopher's face was exactly what I desired.
I'll just fucking end this episode.
He really will, and he'll post it, and he'll just let the views tank. No, look at me, Lincoln. We're the people for the job, man. We've always been the people for the job. I'm sorry that we've put you through such a hard time. You seem like a man who's got enough stress on his mind.
Is that your guys' fault? I mean, this whole void bullshit is... You would even... I mean, it's ridiculous.
I kiss him on the cheek.
He blushes.
I kiss him on the cheek.
He blushes more.
I had a
more.
Feeling you would kiss him on the other cheek. I don't know why.
Oh, God, did I have to roll to kiss him on the cheek and then shit on him again? No. So scared.
I say we both kiss him on the cheek and then you meet him on the nose.
Do I have to roll for that, or am I just doing it?
I mean, it doesn't take a lot of skill to kiss a man on the nose.
You'd be surprised. Somehow it's going to be like I slip and...
That's how you and Hunter ended up, huh? You were like, I just wanted to kiss him on the nose. Now I'm pregnant.
And here we are, married with our first child on the way.
All right. Let's.
It was really intimate hand-holding.
Oh, no.
You're like, what the fuck? I missed my period all of a sudden.
You're like, the only problem is my hand's located somewhere else. And he's like, my hand's located somewhere else.
Funny thing about my hand is.
Gross.
So Lincoln pulls a couple beds that are on wheels and rolls them over to a panel side by side and gesturing for you through to get on them. You all lay down one by one and he straps some monitoring cables to you. And he says that you're going to feel a slight sting and then you'll fall asleep. And he takes a couple...
Beep, boop, before you go stinging people.
Yeah.
Is there something we got to do? Like, do we got to get to a phone booth? Or do we have to say a magic word?
Well, the way I designed it... And again, I haven't been in there, so I don't really know. But the way I designed it is there should be a portal to go through to get back to your conscious self. Now, apparently nobody can fucking find it, because otherwise they'd be out of there already.
All right, language.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Jeez, I mean, you're the one that put them in there.
So he says, so you ready?
So we're looking for a portal once we get the crew.
Yeah.
All right.
So he takes a cable that ends in a small needle and he sticks it through like a sticky pad. And then he turns your head to the side and you feel a small pinch as he sticks the needle and the sticky pad to the back of your head, right where the spine meets the skull, and as soon as he does that, you begin to feel very sleepy and your eyes all start to flutter, and so your eyes close and open and close and open, and then after this happens a few times your eyes close and open again, but this time when they open you're not looking up at a ceiling of a ship, you're looking at the door of a saloon, and it's night all around you and it's hard to see anything else but the door of the saloon, and it has a candle lit outside, and inside you hear lots of voices and music. Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for listening to this episode of Heroes Guild. This is episode 12. This episode is going to be released in two parts, and because we were late a week due to some technical difficulties, we're going to go ahead and release the second part next week. So that way, instead of 2 weeks in between, there's only one. So this post and then another post for the second part of this episode. Aside from that, we have the music for this episode, which includes A Unicorn Walks Into a Bar by Philips Tabletop Music Bazaar, which is licensed under Creative Commons 4.0, Distant Tension by Kevin MacLeod, Circus Theme Song, Ragtime Version by Alexander Necrata, and like always, all of those songs and the links can be found in the description of the episode. Thanks, everybody.